one big happy family, the message says, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Galatians 6:10 calls us the family of believers. Hebrews 2 says we are of the same family. 1 Peter calls us the family of God. Family, family, family. That's what the whole Bible is about. It's not the only message, of course. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? So you could just simply get your sins forgiven and one day wake up in heaven? No, so you could be a part of the family of God. He doesn't want us to be stranded individuals. He wants us to be linked in this thing together. Listen, you'll see it on the screen. Everyone needs a place to belong. Everyone needs. It's not everybody wants. Everybody needs. We desperately need this circumstance, a place that fits like your favorite jeans. Isn't that cool? I've got this pair of jeans. They are just worthless. But whenever I work, I bring them out. I just love hanging out in those jeans because they're so comfortable. That's so welcoming. Don't you agree? You want a place where you can go because it says that you can come as you are and love like family. Feel like you're a part of that place. I've told you the story several times. When I went to Huffman Assembly, man, this place was so loving. I just wanted to stay there. I just loved to hang out there. I wanted to meet people there. And before I knew it, I didn't get related to anybody, but I was family. I just felt like I was a part of the network of what was going on in there. Vance Packard said this, America is a nation of strangers. And studies show that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. Not just a little bit, I'm on the outs, but intense loneliness. Our American culture produces people who are more closely identified with the characters of a weekly TV series than those with their next door neighbors. Dear God, I hope not. Because I've seen the depiction of some of those circumstances on TV now. It is horrible. He says, everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, community, and a sense of family. Debbie and I took our son and his wife out to dinner last night, and we were sitting there, and Debbie noticed there was a couple sitting next to her, and through the entire dinner, they were both on their phones. The entire dinner, sitting just a little inches from each other, and the whole time they're on the phone. Can you imagine? It's hard to believe. And I know we can get caught up with information and that type of thing. But man, that's called, I'm together, but we're not together. That's not family. It's just horrible. You heard me tell the story before about a little old lady who went to the post office, and she stood in this long line to get some stamps, and somebody finally interrupted her and said, ma'am, you know you can get some stamps right over here, you know, through that machine. She goes, yeah, I know, but the machine doesn't ask me about my arthritis. Isn't that a wonderful pick? I mean, that's what somebody, and sometimes, you know, our comments and our greeting is superficial. You know, it doesn't really go down deep, you know, and some of it is a little more surfacey than we would really like, but somewhere in there, somebody cares about you. Somewhere in this massive crowd, there's somebody that cares about you, and I hope that you've found them. If you haven't found them, I hope that you will find them. I'll tell you what our culture says about family. A culture says, you know what, the husband in that circumstance, he's just really weak, and he's an idiot. He can't figure out anything whatsoever. And the mom, she's extremely dominant, opinionated, has us all this stuff. And the kids, yeah, well, they're obviously, you know, disconnected. You know, they got their own little world. Or they're overall, the whole circumstances, they're just dysfunctional. You know, hey, listen, I shouldn't start quoting things. Back in my day, it was married with children, this horrible example of what families are like. Now it's modern family. Man, I'm telling you, it's just crazy. And here's what we do. We absolutely engage all of that for the sake of humor, but we're being influenced into this family dynamic that for the world is really reality. They love it because it's escaped through humor to all of this stuff, because you know what? Their family looks a lot like that. It's craziness. And we've got to do something about it, at least as a church. The Bible uses a lot of metaphors for the church, but the greatest one is family. Maybe church and family is familiar to you. Maybe some of you have been in church so long, it's the only family you've known. Well, good for you, but you found out really quick, didn't you? There's a lot of imperfect people in church. That family's not the best. I'm not telling you that we're perfect. I'm just telling you that family is God's idea, and if we'll cooperate with God, He'll make us a pretty cool family. And if we don't value that as a church, it'll never happen. Somebody has to step up and say, this is something we're going to value. We're going to value our youth. We're going to invest our finances, our time, and our efforts into making sure that these youth have a place to worship and be together and get ministered to. And we're going to do that with kids. I loved it. Liz up here saying, hey, tonight, tonight. It's not Sunday morning where we have our kids over in the backyard buddies and over here in Gravity Kids, but tonight we're gonna have something for them. Wednesday night when we're gathering. Brother Ed, who was singing right over here, does Royal Rangers on that. And Monica, who usually is like right over here, but she doesn't sing. Anyway, she's in the nursery today, and she has our Impact Girls. We have things for our kids and for our youth, but also we want to make sure that we minister to marriages. I love the fact that we just had a marriage conference. Quite honestly, I'm just going to tell you right up front, I said, I need to be supportive because I have a great marriage. My wife is perfect. And I'm stinking handsome. I mean, what more do you need? But we signed up, and we got busy schedules, stuff like that, But man, I gleaned so much out of that. And listen, I have an over-the-hill marriage, okay? I'm more into grandkids than I am kids, I mean, everything makes noises when it moves now, So I'm done. I'm done. I'm on the edge of death. And I'm sitting through this thing, and I'm going, okay, this is for young people. It was awesome. This is awesome. Just like God never quits investing in our lives, we should never quit investing in our marriages, in our families, in our church. Maybe you've never known the blessing of being a part of something as big as the family of God. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to invite you to be a part of the family of God. I am the only person in my family that is saved, at least by my definition, and going to church. And then it was a couple of years ago, it was really kind of cool. My mother, when she couldn't go to church anymore, my brother started taking her, and now I have found out that my brother and his wife and their two children are going to the local Baptist church. My brother is like his deacon thing in the Presbyterian church. Presbyterian. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, But they go there. I mean, it's how you start bracing this thing, because there's something powerful about being a family. This is what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Solomon is saying, listen, we got to get this thing together, because we were meant to be together. And it's called family. You may not have the same last name. You may not have the same bloodline, but you have the same bloodline. It's called the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the same relation, the same Father, and His name is Almighty God. Listen, belonging to a church provides strength. A church family provides strength. In the New Century Version, it says two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. That there's none of us that can do alone what we can accomplish together. We had the Gideons. Brother Martinez, thank you for your presentation today. And if we just send you out there without any financial support or on your own efforts, and you hand out, how many of those can you hand out? But with the collective efforts of the Gideons, 92 million. That's unbelievable. Can you imagine what we can do in this small church in many ways compared to many other churches? What can we do in the dynamic of a church family, in the physical family, in the moms, in the dads, in the youth, in the children, if we'll just get in that together? Listen, our families are not under attack. Our families have been under attack. Listen, Ozzie and Harriet, and you'll Google it if you need to, are gone. I mean, those days are history. And it's not coming back. But that doesn't mean the dynamic and the foundation of good, solid families, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, loving Jesus Christ, can't be a reality. We will invest strongly in our youth and children and in the health of marriages and the family relationships, because belonging to a church family also provides support. It's not just strength, it's support. Who are you going to go to? Who are you going to go to? Who's going to listen to you that understands you? Who are you going to get to pray with you? Who's going to sympathize with you? Who's going to help you through these rocky times? Who's going to celebrate with you? Who's going to throw you a party? Who's going to tell you, that's great, pat you on the back, atta boy, atta girl? Who's going to do that? Yeah, only the church family can really do that with a sense of urgency that changes us. In the Message, Solomon put it this way: two are better off than one, because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and they fall, it's just too bad, because there's no one there to help them up. That's what you get when it comes to isolation and when you're all alone. You're just there. We all have troubles, don't we? We know, and Jesus even said that we would. He said, in this world you will have trouble. But look what he said in the next verse of Scripture. He says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. All you have in a family dynamic is the best effort that they can do, the best that they have. I grew up with a dad that had two different influences. It was amazing how strong he was, how dependable he was. Everything that he did when he worked on a car was perfect. Everybody bragged about Harry Mubrin and this thing that he could do. But he just didn't have much of a relationship with his kids outside of authority and discipline. That's all we got. That's all we got. I can remember being a little bitty kid, and, you know, there was a couple affection moments, you know, where he hugged us. I remember sitting on his head one time, you know, not on his head, but on his shoulders, you know. And isn't that a cool picture? You know what my dad was doing? He was standing next to a rock quarry. I'm looking down a sheer cliff. He thought I would enjoy seeing these huge steam, you know, shovels down there picking up all these rocks. I am freaking out. He's hanging me off this edge. That was it, you know. I had other influences, too. My dad had the basement, and that's where he'd do all the car work and things that he did at the house. But right behind this one wall behind the workbench was this little closet where he kept a bunch of car parts and stuff. But back there, there was always this calendar. And it wasn't a Playboy calendar, but it was a kind of one of those mechanic snap-on tool calendars. And she wasn't naked, but she didn't have a whole lot on. And it was all the advertising tools. And I just had this image, you know, why is this here? And I figured it out, you know. It was just crazy. You have these mixed messages when you get through family. You don't do that when you do with the family of God. Galatians 6:2 says, help carry each other's burdens in the way that you will follow Christ's teachings. Don't do things like the world does, because they will lead you away from Christ instead of to Christ. They will not be there for you when you're hurting. They will say, bless your heart, hope you make it, because I got other things to do. I've got to get a new friend, because you're obviously not going to be able to pull your weight. That's what the world does. Listen, belonging to a church family also provides spiritual connection. There's something more powerful than anything else, and that is what the Spirit can do. Because you're either part of a family for three reasons. You're either blood, you were born into that family, or a relationship, kind of like you would marry somebody, therefore you're related into that family, or by Spirit. That's what happens with the Spirit of God and with the family of God. There's a spiritual connection that you can't explain, because when it comes to family, we all have different ideas about what family is, don't you? And regardless of your experiences and your expression, all those may change, but the definition doesn't. What a family is stays consistent on the definition. There's a bond. There's this spiritual family dynamic that only happens in the church. And God, with His help, will provide that, because we can trust Him. Because regardless of what our personal view is, God is there for the long run. He is going to see us through. Debbie and I were, fired from a church in Tulsa. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Listen, there wasn't any horrible ill feelings, but I was asked to not tell anybody because the pastor wanted to announce it on Sunday morning. But I said, no, we're not going to do that to our kids. I'm not going to have my kids leave Sunday school and know that we're leaving the church. So we told them the night before. And I'll still remember my daughter, who was, 10, 11. She's real young. And we told them, said, you know, and the best way we knew how to communicate as parents to little kids, little bitty kids, that, you know, we're going to be leaving the church. My daughter looked at us. Said, but this is our family. Now, I'm reliving the moment. But in preparing this, God said, just think of all the people who have never had the opportunity or could just get over the hump of trying to feel and become a part of your church's family. Wow, the weight of responsibility is huge. And that's why we must value with all that we have and invest strongly in developing families, develop these relationships with our youth, our children, and our marriages, with our families. So bad things happen, that doesn't mean we can't have good results. God loves to work through crisis. Because here's the bottom line. Everybody deserves to be a part of family. You deserve to belong. You deserve to be valued. And you're important. And your contribution is recognized. And we're here for you, and hopefully you'll be there for us. Again, I tell you the story I heard years ago. We had Kathy Keating, who was the governor at that time, Keating's wife. She was with us for a youth convention. She told this story about how she had met this lady who was received the Teacher of the Year for the whole state of Illinois. And the way she received that was one day the principal came to her and said, listen, I need you to take on a job, if you will. So we've had about five teachers that have gone into this one learning disabilities class, and they've just bombed out. They couldn't make it. We really need you to go in there and make a difference. And she didn't want to, but she accepted the responsibility. And she went in there, and this class was crazy. These kids were unmanageable. They didn't have any manners. They didn't want to learn. They were just problems. And she walked through that for about, 7 to 10 days, and then she just got frustrated. So she said, I did something that was really probably irresponsible, and I really didn't have the approval, but I went in, I snuck into the office, and I got the files on these kids. And I'm looking up their files, and I'm looking, all of their IQs are just crazy. They're between 110 and 130. And I got mad. I got indignant. I went in there the next day, and I slammed my book, and I said, shut up and sit down. Every one of you guys are smart as a tack. You're going to learn. Quit being lazy. And all of a sudden, she starts demanding. Next thing you know, these kids start jumping into the line. Their scores start going crazy. The class had turned around completely. The principal understands. He says, wow, what in the world did you do? He finally gets her together. He says, what is your secret? And she goes, well, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I snuck into the office, and I pulled their files. And I couldn't believe it. I looked in there. I said, their IQs are off the chart, but they're just lazy. So I started demanding that they do more. I just started demanding that they do better, that they're better off than that. I'm not going to let them live like that. And he said, where did you find that? And she took him to the place, and they looked at the charts, and he says, well, he says, if you'll look here closely, he said, that little square is for their IQ scores. You'll notice it's blank. This little block is their locker numbers. I thought that was so hilarious. But how cool was it when one person decided, because they had a greater motivation, there was a purpose in believing in them that no one else had seen, and the class wasn't going to give to them. And whether it was real or not, she went in there, and somebody finally decided, I'm going to care, I'm going to demand more, and we're going to lead. And in this church, with God's help and with your participation, is exactly what we're going to do for families. You know what? I appreciate we're going to have a box, and we're going to donate for this family. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want us to be a distribution center for something we go bless their hearts and send it on without our hearts and everything going. And God forbid that happens in our church and we do the same thing. We're not here to help you through a financial crisis, although we're here to do that. That's what families do. We're here to be a part of your family. We don't want to bail you out. We want to include you. We want you to bail us in. We want you to just suck us right in as we suck you in if we can, because God has a better plan. We will invest strongly in our youth, in our children, and in the health of marriages, and in family relationships. And it all starts with a firm, solid relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is just semantics. It's just things that we do. We're just rearranging things and coming up with cute little cliches in the church, unless it's connected to a living God who said, I will be your father. I will be your family. And we together will walk through life. And when you stumble and fall, like Solomon said, I will help you up. And when you need to be warmed up, I will be there to be your help. And when your heart has been broken, I will be there to be your healer. That's what families do. And that's what we're going to do with God's help. Amen? Close your eyes with me. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus for the next few moments. I pray, Father, if there's anyone that is yearning desperately for that relationship with you, they need a godly father. And it's not to overcome all the things of the past, although you do that. It's not to make up for a dad who wasn't a real dad, because you'll do that. It's not because we need somewhere to go, because you'll do that. But it's because, Lord God, you cared so much that you altered history by saying, I will send my son Jesus Christ, and through his sacrifice on the cross, we will be family. I'll be in there for you. I will be at everything that you need. I'm one prayer away. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you love those words? And today you have felt distant from that, but yet he has also received your distance. And today it's time to go home. Don't you love that word home? A lot of people go to a house. You know what's in a home? Family. That's why we call this your church home. This is why we call it the body of believers. This is why we call it God's family. And today, if that's your prayer, would you raise your hand and just put it right back down? Pastor Dave, I need that godly family. Who else? Who else? I need God to be my dad. I need God to be my father. I need family. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I need to belong. I need a place of significance. I need to come along people who will be my support. I get criticized constantly. I am sized up by the world. I'm evaluated by everybody at work. When I go to school, all I see is the scrutiny of all of my peers. What I need is a place where I can go and be loved and be comforted and be challenged and be included. And I can be a part of that family. Maybe I wasn't born into it, but through the Spirit, it can be mine. Anybody else, your hand up real quick, real quick. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, before we dismiss this place, this crowd today, I pray, oh God, you'll give us a sense of that family. Lord, we desperately need it for ourselves. But God, I am so grateful that before you send us out to do acts of service, you heal us. You make us complete. You make us whole. You don't have a practice of taking wounded soldiers and sending them back to the front wounded. Instead, you bring them home. You love them. You take care of them. You heal their wounds. You heal their bodies. You heal their minds, Lord God. You set them on a path that only you can give. You give them promises, Lord God, that they can't sustain on their own. And today, Father, I pray that for everybody who raised their hand, for every person in this congregation. And Lord, let it be the legacy of this church that we are always going to be a church family, that we are going to value not just our youth and our children and marriages and families as a list. This isn't a checkoff list. This is a priority. This is a new thing that we do because we are continually going to recommit to valuing that. Please give us every effort and every opportunity. Heal those, Lord God, who stuck their hand up. But Lord, it represents something, major or minor, it represents something to where we need a family. We need a place to belong. And God forbid that we go one more minute without feeling totally accepted, invited, included, and a part of the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You've been a fabulous audience this morning. You are dismissed.